Hello, wonderful people of Medford and Somerville. I am Luke. Once again, you are listening to my show, Elephant Loaf, and you are listening on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We have a very special guest this week. Claire, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, my name's Claire. I'm from Dunstable, Massachusetts. I'm a Tufts student, and I study chemistry.
Awesome. Incredible. I think that is everything. Let's jump into questions. I'm going to start with, what is a course or professor that you've really enjoyed? Because I hope I know where this is going.
So a course or professor I really enjoyed was environmental geology with Jack Ridge. He's a geoscience professor at Tufts. He really loves rocks, and I just personally loved his class because he would ramble about his favorite rocks all the time. You've met Jack Ridge.
I have met Jack Ridge for a very short period of time. I hope to take that exact same course in the spring, and have heard so many great things about Jack Ridge. I've met him. It was a very short meeting, but he's awesome.
He's a really funny guy.
I have tentative ideas of moving this show beyond just students in the future, and as I think about professors, I think he'd be a really cool person to have on.
He would love this. He would be all over this.
That's good to know. That's very good to know.
You should ask him.
Are field trips a part of that course? I know field trips are a part of geology courses.
Almost all of the geology courses will take you on one field trip because the professors just like to be outside. A big part of that field trip, not field trip, that course was field trips. There's four of them. You go to a rock beach at one point so you can collect rocks from that.
Okay, so I've always, A, that sounds awesome. B, I've always wondered, as far as those, I know there's a lab associated with that class, right? Mm-hmm. Are they generally within that time period? What is transportation? What?
A funky school bus pulls up to Wade Hall.
Incredible.
It leaves at 1:20 and they try and get you back by 4:20, but with traffic, sometimes that doesn't happen.
Gotcha.
So you just sort of hope that you don't have a class afterward.
But
is really my advice.
Very good to know. It's incredible. Just the idea of getting outside during a class is awesome, and doing that during such an earth sciencey course where it's the things that you are learning about are outside and you can go see them, which is so different from history where it's here's a book.
They're all dead.
And we can we can look at an old book, and that's kind of cool, but beyond that, that's as much as we can interface with this. Or science, we take chemistry classes together, and it's I'll never see an electron. In some ways, I'll see a lot of them, but in a very real sense, I'll never see an electron.
No, it makes everything make a lot of sense when he takes you out, even though there was one field trip where we ended up in a random parking lot, and he was like, there used to be a marsh here. And everyone was like, okay, it's concrete now. So your first field trip, you'll go to this rock outcrop and he'll get you out of the bus and you'll look at it and you'll be like, oh, so cool. And then he'll drive you somewhere really random and it's a parking lot. And he'll get you out of the car and he'll be like, there was a marsh here, and show you a map.
That's incredible.
That's it. Everyone was confused that stop on the field trip.
That is awesome. But that shows dedication. And from everything that I've heard about him, he's just the most invested in the source material, you know?
Yeah. He cares a lot about geology, and he's been living, I think, in this area for a while, if what I understood from his rambling in class was anything. He's been working for Tufts, I think, since the 90s, at least, doing the same sort of thing. He's really a great guy. 10 out of 10 recommend.
Incredible. I look forward to taking one or more classes with him as you've roped me into the geoscience minor idea. That's just awesome. I think for me, for this question, Durin immediately comes to mind. Yeah. Professor Turner Durin, who was our teacher for Chem 11 and 12, chemistry, like sort of advanced general chemistry, where you're doing, I mean, not really.
Distinction still doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make sense to me either, but it's a lot more class time is what it is. But, you know, the trade-off with that is you get a lot of people that are, like, really invested in being there, which you don't always get in an intro class.
You don't usually get that in an intro class.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably why we ended up being friends with a lot of people from Chem 11 and Chem 12, is because they were the chemistry majors and not, like, bio, not necessarily biochem, but...
We see a fair amount of those guys, too.
We do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is an awesome course. It is very, very well taught. I only have positive things to say about Professor Turner.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just great. I would recommend it, but it's one of those things where it's like, it's a weird thing to recommend to people, I feel like, because it's like, hey, here's this 6-credit class that, you know.
You can take your freshman year of college.
Yeah. That you have to kind of plan your schedule around.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are a lot of cool things about it, aside from, like, the tests and finals that we had were, like, paper reviews and projects based on research that's already been done, when I think about, like, the Flint, Michigan.
Those were really helpful for me, actually, figuring out how to read an academic paper and, like, what I'm supposed to be looking for. That was, like, I wouldn't ask her to change the exam back to a regular format. That I really appreciated that.
No, I completely agree, and it's striking me now to bring this even further into a chemistry lens. But she really focused on, hey, the exams, now that I'm remembering more, literally were just read an academic paper. We're going to ask you some questions about the content of that paper. Just to, like, make sure you could understand it all, and then some where it's like, we're going to take these ideas that we've seen in class that are in the paper, and we're going to go just a little bit further with them. And that's really great and really teaches you how to read scientific papers, which is a thing you need to do if you're a scientist.
Yeah.
And the cool, like, other real concrete skill that someone is focusing on right now, shout out to Eric High, who is our physical chemistry lab instructor. Very awesome. Very, very cool guy. He's focusing on abstract writing, which is another thing that's super important.
That you need to do. I'm actually looking at the abstracts in the geochem papers that I'm reading right now and analyzing them, because some of them are not good. But they're from, like, the 90s, so I guess that's okay. But
so that gets a pass.
Yeah. But they're putting full equations in there that don't make sense to anyone until you read the paper. They just like drop them in.
Incredible.
Without context. And I think he would take off points for that.
and honestly, like, that's, I was gonna joke about it, but that's a good metric of, like, would our teacher take off points for this abstract as a way of vetting you know, how maybe not how quality the research is, but how good the abstract itself is.
And I think having written 4 abstracts and being able to say, he should have taken points off for that, means it's probably not a good abstract.
Yeah, absolutely. And I found out that you're a little further on this week's lab than I am right now.
What do you, oh,
if
yeah,
you've written
I wrote
4,
it. Yeah, I
then,
have.
Yeah. Yeah, incredible. Anything, any other courses or professors that you've really enjoyed that you would like to recommend to the small listenership of this radio show?
Jill from the EOS department.
Yep.
Currently, the two professors working in that department are Jack and Jill,
which is
I just enjoy.
Incredible.
Her class is very intense, but it's interesting from a chemistry and geoscience perspective. And she took us to a mine on a field trip, and we went camping. So that was just fun. That was a fun thing
awesome.
She did. It was a weekend field trip.
That is really super cool. I've heard tell of those as well. My friend Nick, I think it was in EOS, ECS, geoscience type classes, whatever. Claire and I have talked a lot about this department and how they're gradually kind of changing how they're naming themselves. Point is, the earth science people, I think he like got like a plane tour or something. Does that make sense at all?
Oh, yeah, there's a helicopter one.
A helicopter one.
There's a helicopter
one.
Field trip. And I don't know what class it's for, but I've heard stories about it, and I really want to take that field trip.
And that's like super neat.
Jack Ridge teaches that class as well, I'm pretty sure. I think it's probably one of his glacier classes, which would be 100 level in the EOS department, but... you might actually have to, you might be able to take that for a minor.
Just sweet.
For fun.
Just
I think there's like one requirement.
Throwing that in there. Yeah.
Get on a helicopter.
I mean.
Tufts funded helicopter.
A Tufts funded helicopter. That is an incredible reason to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know they're actually going to tear Lane down and make a dorm there, apparently? That's why they're moving them to Bacon Hall. Fun fact.
I have
you didn't know
like six questions coming from
okay.
that. Number one, we have a Bacon Hall.
Oh, yeah. You
like
know
the
that,
food that sizzles?
Pretty sure. I don't ever read the sign.
Okay.
It's the, one of those scary box-like ones down Boston Ave.
Like near Ganter type area?
No. Down further past the SEC this direction.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like toward 574.
Yes.
This and... is, I'm sorry for everyone who has no idea what Tufts campus looks like that is listening. It's in a direction that's kind of far from main campus.
Yes.
Is,
yeah. And it's between the psychology building and one of the other scary square buildings.
Is that where they put psych majors?
Yeah, in the it's like right next door to Curtis.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so they're moving the EOS department there. Apparently, which Bacon Call currently has rat and bird labs in it.
Oh, I've heard about that.
So a lot of moving has to happen before that transition is ready. But they are putting a dorm in where Lane is because
okay.
of our housing crisis.
Yeah, and we've got a huge housing crisis right now, which I am sure everyone, I'm sure the powers that be are well aware of that and are doing everything they can about that, including tearing down one of the coolest buildings on campus, in my opinion.
The largest collection of rocks that's probably making the department the most difficult to move.
If it weren't rocks, it would be books. And I'm sure they've got a lot of those, too.
Yeah. But apparently it's a good thing they're tearing down Lane because there's black mold in the extra basement.
That's
so
great.
Yeah. That clearly needs a renovation.
Good to
no
know.
No one's allowed to go down there.
Incredible. I will keep that in mind as I start pursuing classes in that building.
You'll be fine.
It'll be, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Also in that building, really cool dinosaur murals.
Yeah.
Just really neat.
It's a great building. There's dinosaur murals, dinosaur footprint rocks, some funky rock collections that we were looking at today. I don't remember how fancy they were, but they were fancy.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Have I, because I know you're a big fan of dinosaurs,
yes.
I forget if I've ever asked you what your favorite dinosaur is.
I think I gave you an answer and then I realized it was wrong.
Okay, so good that I'm checking back in.
I think I said pterodactyl, which...
You did, yeah.
I do like that they fly. However, I think a triceratops is actually my favorite. The one with horns and has like a round face. And
it's got like the big shield and then all the... It's like a rhino, but just better.
It's going to be really embarrassing if that's not actually a triceratops because...
I'm almost certain that's
it. Is.
Yeah.
I don't have an explanation for why that's my favorite.
Hey.
They just look the best.
If people have been rating their favorite dinosaurs on any other metric, then I am a fool.
Yeah. Okay. What's your favorite dinosaur then?
Well, it also has been, it's been Triceratops for a long time. Within the past 6 months or so, for reasons that I can't explain, it's been moving toward, I think it's like a Plesiosaur or a Plesiosaur. I'm not really, Nessie.
Yeah, that makes
sense. You know, the little, the water ones, the big water ones with the fins and the long neck, you know. It's just cool. They're
that
just
is
neat.
Cool. I was going to say you have good taste because you picked Triceratops and then you picked a cool one, but it's not a Triceratops.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Are you feeling another question? Are you feeling some music? What's
I'm feeling some music.
Incredible. We've got Karma Chameleon on next. Is that where we're going?
That's where we're going.
Incredible. Thank you. And we just have a little bit of an announcement here at WMFO, here at Elephant Loaf with me, Luke, and special guest Claire. We would like to let you know just about some autumn outdoor exercise ideas. This is a public service announcement. I'm killing this. Autumn brings some of the most beautiful days of the year to New England. If you haven't been getting all the exercise you should, now is the perfect time to get outside and walk, run, or ride a bike. Use your feet to go places instead of your car. Enjoy the fall colors, breathe in fresh air, reduce stress, and improve your health. This has been a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio, and a concerned citizen like me. And I'm gonna take a second to brag about myself, because I've gone on 3 runs in the past week, and I'm very happy about that.
It's very impressive. I've done no running, and my dad is getting concerned.
Okay.
We're going snowboarding in the winter, and he wants me to be prepared.
Gotcha.
And able to keep up with my brother, who is currently exercising at altitude. I think I'll be fine.
It's not like you can invent altitude to exercise.
Exactly.
At. Yeah.
I'm not worried. I pushed a 70-pound mattress up my stairs recently, so... That was exercise enough.
I saw you both before and after that, and you were just in swell shape. I think both data points I have, it didn't look like it took anything out of you. So
I was doing great.
Mm-hmm. Is running a transferable skill to snowboarding? Because personally, I don't think so. But
it's legs.
It's legs.
I mean, I used to run cross country in high school, so it's something that's easy. It's not easy. It's running. But it's
true.
I have like the sneakers and stuff for it, so theoretically I could go on a run, but that's a lot of physical effort.
That's so true.
Which right after our service announcement was probably
that's okay.
Not the best. That's all right. To say.
Here at Elephant Loaf, we would like to support you whether you decide to exercise or not.
Yes.
So we can jump straight into this question, which I've been wanting to ask for a while now. With only the contents of your room, Claire, how long could you survive a zombie apocalypse? Now, during the break, we did determine that this is not your room on campus.
It is my room on campus.
It is your room on campus. And it's you and I, but I'm going to slow you down.
Yes.
Incredible.
Correct. Okay. So, in my room on campus, I have a toolbox. And the contents of this toolbox include a hammer and a screwdriver. So I think that we're starting off at a pretty good spot.
Yeah, I would agree.
I also have about 3 different bags of popcorn from Costco. So
huge.
That's a like 2 weeks worth of meals. Yeah, in my opinion.
I was talking with my suite mate right before coming here, and she asked me what we were going to talk about. I brought up a couple of the questions. Mm-hmm. And when I got to the zombie apocalypse thing, she immediately was like, I don't have any food in my room.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I don't either. Mm-hmm. B, I never thought about that. The only thing I think about with this question is like, what kind of homemade weapons can you make to defend yourself? You know? And that's my fault.
Yeah.
I'm going to own that as my fault. But popcorn, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Two and big bags, you said?
Three. One of them is Skinny Pop, and the other one is Boom Chicka Pop. And the other one is, it's not really popcorn, it's like a chickpea snack that's gluten-free.
Totally.
It's really good.
So, like, options as well.
Yeah. Different variety.
You can
so
switch it up
bored.
A little bit.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
I have a foam roller, which I'm not exactly sure what we could use that for, but I think it'll add some spice to the arrangement. I never use it. My friend Anna was getting rid of it last year, and she was going to throw it out, so I took it. But yeah, it's just extra. I also have 4 plants, one of which houses a spider. Living spider. I think we could befriend the spider.
Yep.
And that could help us on our
It's just good
adventures.
To have allies.
Also, my house has, it's on the second floor, so the zombies would have to go up some stairs, which we could barricade. I know that's not like barricading it from my room, but it would make it more difficult for them.
Yeah.
I have carrots growing as well.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You're the perfect person to answer this question.
We let some carrots sprout, and they're just currently in a pot in my room, kind of waiting until spring so we can plant them. So we have our own way to grow food. We have some soil.
Yeah.
I think we could survive for at least a month, if not more, just in my room. And yeah. then have the means to continue on and beat the zombie apocalypse.
True.
Unless you, of course, mess something up.
Yeah, like yes. Like I tend to.
Like you tend to.
Yeah, I at the beginning of this, I was like a little offended that you were like, you're going to slow me down. But no, I mean, I'm just another person that's eating your food. Mm-hmm. You seem to have all the bases covered.
I've got vegetables.
Starch. Popcorn. Yeah.
Yeah.
A foam roller.
That was a random addition.
No, so hear me out. I think it's important mm-hmm. because to bring it back to autumn exercise, we're in the zombie apocalypse. Yeah. I would imagine doing more cardio than I generally do in my daily life. Mm-hmm. And that really takes it out of you, as we discussed. And so it's important to have recovery tools like a foam roller. I've got a friend that has just like insane amounts of Gatorade powder. I feel like that would be another thing.
Electrolytes.
That is a huge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so like, I think I could bring some things mm-hmm. to your room survival den, but honestly, I agree. I'd probably just be pulling you down.
I also have an aloe plant, so in case you ever got a sunburn,
that's you'll incredible. Be fine. That's incredible. You've got medicine. You've got food.
Yeah. I don't have water, but I have windows, so that should be... And my house is pretty well insulated, so heating isn't a big deal, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So this is just, like, perfect, then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would your... In a zombie apocalypse, no longer confining you to your room, would your instinct to be, like, probably get as far away as possible... But, like, which direction and...
I actually had a thought about this when I was much younger. I think I was in middle school.
Okay.
I don't know why I was thinking about this, but I thought that the perfect place to go would be Costco after, everyone had looted it. Because it has those metal stacks of things. And, like, people freaking out aren't necessarily going to try and climb that. So there's likely still, not produce, but non-perishable stuff there. And you can live... on those rafters in Costco.
Yep.
And then the zombies can't get you. So
that's awesome.
It's just it would just be dark all the time, which might be an issue because it's the Costco and it's like
I think
windows, but
there is a probably a combination of batteries and light sources
that's
in
There's
Costco.
There's a lot of stuff there.
This is derailing just a hair because of course we were already on a super specific topic. But I think that it was said that the CEO, either current or former of Costco, is like, the price of the hot dog is going to stay $1.75 or whatever
it's
it
like
is.
It's like $1.89.
Yeah.
Because that's how they get people into Costco.
Okay.
They come in they can buy their little hot dog that is losing them money and then they want to be in Costco because it's amazing.
I mean,
it's a good hot dog.
It's amazing. I would like to imagine that even in the apocalypse, that order is not lifted.
That once we take over the Costco, we start providing people with a $1.89 hot dog. Yeah. Oh, sorry, you wanted to trade goods for this hot dog? Well, actually, I only take American currency.
This is the one thing stabilizing the U.S. dollar right now.
Is the value of my hot dog.
Yeah. But I think Costco is an excellent location because anytime you've got height, that's really important. Anytime you've got like a fortified singular location, that's really important.
And they already have that fence.
Yeah.
When you walk in.
Totally.
And it seems like a really well defendable, easily defendable location.
And if the zombies don't have a membership card, they're not allowed in anyway.
So true. Those laws will definitely the American laws on murder, that doesn't stop them.
No,
but Costco membership, that's where they draw the line.
There are some institutions that even the zombies obey, I feel like.
I mean, if the Costco hot dog is going to withstand this, then obviously they have to obey the membership.
Yeah.
But what about the zombies who had membership in their lifetime?
So I think they can come in.
What if their membership expires and they forget to renew it?
And they can't renew it. That's a really good point. I feel like they still can't come in.
Yeah, that makes sense. But it's not really their fault they couldn't renew it.
Yeah.
Well, but they caused the collapse of society.
Okay, A, they caused the collapse of society. B, they don't exactly have the mental fortitude to call a claims line and be like...
But they do have the mental fortitude to know that they can't come into Costco.
I'm starting to see a little bit of a flaw in this logic. You've brought me there now. Incredible. So we talked autumn exercise. Mm-hmm. If you would like to do another question right now.
Sure.
Then we can get into seasonal activities near campus.
Okay.
You'd ask me define near campus. Yes. Eastern Seaboard, I would say.
Eastern Seaboard. Oh, that's a lot more options then. Because I was going to say there's holiday markets in Boston. There was one, I don't remember where it was now, but it started last year. It's in December. It runs all of December. And I got a really nice glass hummingbird for my mom for Christmas. And I just recommend holiday market experiences because you get to buy hot chocolate and do holiday shopping, regardless of like what you celebrate. Because it's not like a Christmas market. It's holiday.
There's a lot killer.
Of them. You can look them up.
Just in... More probably in like Boston than in Medford, Somerville.
I think. And took the red line to the silver line. So somewhere near-ish South Station, I think, was where it was. But I don't remember exactly what it was.
Inside or outside? I haven't gone to one of these before.
It's outside. It's outdoor. So dress warm.
Yeah.
But hot chocolate, waffles with hot chocolate on top, that sort of thing. Outdoor market stalls, small businesses. That sort of, it's kind of fun.
The waffles with hot chocolate on top?
Like melted chocolate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's lovely.
Like the Belgian waffle.
Oh.
One of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Did you ski growing up? Like the waffle cabin?
I did ski growing up, and I do know what you're talking about, but they were never at any of the places that I went growing up.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
I did ski club in high school just to go to Waffle Cabin because we would go to
incredible
not Wachusett
my school maybe, went to Wachusett
maybe Wachusett did you go to Wachusett I don't
my
remember
my school went to Wachusett yeah. I didn't, you didn't go to Wachusett.
I want to say it was Wachusett that had the Waffle Cabin but I can't remember anymore where we went.
I've heard like great things about ski clubs in high schools, but it just always felt like such a huge time commitment.
It was a long bus ride.
Yeah.
And it was always in the winter when I had swim. So I didn't do it most years. I didn't know a lot of people who did it either.
Yeah.
It was expensive and cold and icy is what I heard from people.
Just a bad combination of things in general.
Especially when it's like long bus ride. You didn't do your homework yet. It's late. But Waffle Cabin. So that made it all better.
Yeah, true. Very true. I think a ski lodge would be a good place for the zombie apocalypse, honestly. Because they're often remote. They've got a lot of food in them, generally.
And just stuff.
Like
cold. You can store stuff outside.
True. So
that
true.
Will get frozen. And then, like, meat. You could keep meat for a while if you hunted something. Have you ever watched the TV show Alone?
I have. Oh my god. So I haven't seen the most recent couple seasons, but like through middle and very early high school, I would watch a lot of TV with my parents, and one of the shows we would watch is Alone.
It just doesn't seem like the show that I would watch, but I watched the most recent season with this woman, Teresa, and she dug a pit house, and that was really impressive.
For audience members that have not maybe heard of Alone, would you want to get into a little bit about what the show is like?
A bunch of people who are really good at survival stuff go into the woods and they're alone for an undetermined amount of time, and they have to try and survive and live out there longer than anyone else. There's med checks, though, so that in case that they're really hungry or and not willing to tap out, they will be pulled out for their safety.
Yeah, and no one's hurt. Tapping out is like how people leave as well. And so I don't know if this is the same with your season, but you've always got like the one person that gets out there and within the first 3 or 4 days, yeah. like sees a bear and is like, mm-hmm. I'm not ready for this anymore, and yeah. immediately punches. And then you've got the people that make it to the end are incredible. Like yes. I've, especially on the earlier seasons, there are some people that are so good at making like homes.
Yes. like, and they live in them.
and they live in them. And there was like, there was one guy in either the first or second season that had like, not fully running water for himself, but he had water that he elevated so that it would come down, and he made like little chessboards for himself and
such. I want to watch that season.
and he tapped because he's like, I'm bored out here. I want to go see my wife.
That is so, I appreciate that for him.
Yeah, me like, too.
Good choice, guy. Yeah. The first season I watched was the like 100 days in the Arctic mm-hmm. event. And this guy, one guy tapped in like 5 hours, which, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go on that show, so who am I to judge? But that sounded kind of sad to me. but then at the end, it was this guy and two girls for the longest time.
Yeah.
I was really rooting for a woman because I don't think a woman has won yet. But the guy beat them out because he got a big game and he had a rock house. He was really, well... Good for him. He lived out there the longest. But I was so sad. The women got pulled because they were losing too much weight
yeah. in
the winter.
That's a really rough thing. They always, at least in every season of the show that I've seen, they start in like mid-late fall. Mm-hmm. And so winter comes pretty quick, yeah. and that generally takes a lot of people
out.
And
they were in the Arctic. So
yeah. yep.
That sounds really hard.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Thoughts on a song? Mm-hmm. We've got Material Girl up next. Is that what you're feeling, or are you feeling another song?
I'm feeling another song.
Okay. Escape, we got the mm-hmm. Pina Colada song. We got It's Raining Men, which I was jamming out to earlier today. We talked about Pat Benatar. Mm. Claire has an excellent taste in music and really Thank brought you. It today.
Can we do Pat Benatar, Hit Me With Your Best Shot?
Absolutely we can.
I'm
As hinted at earlier, that was Pat Benatar with Hit Me With Your Best Shot. I'm Luke. I'm here with special guest Claire. Yes. And you're tuning into 91.5 WMFO. We don't have to say that right now, but it's just nice to let them know sometimes.
Okay.
We spent the entire break talking about Alone, and I just remembered that I have questions in front of me.
Okay.
You mentioned the silver and red line.
Mm-hmm.
I have to ask, do you have a favorite MBTA line? Do you have any predictions for when the green line stop is going to finish? What are your MBTA thoughts in general?
My favorite line is the red line,
okay.
But it's been the red line since I was able to come to Boston by myself.
Yeah.
So since I was like 14 or so, I lived very far away. You could only get here by the commuter rail. So,
yeah,
I really like the red line. I think it's the most efficient and least scary of the lines. And now, of course, since I live right near it at Tufts, it's super accessible. I hope the green line opens soon. From the increased construction work over by the corner, by the SEC, I'm hoping that November, end of November, is looking good, but it's not looking good from the...
Because that's the most recent deadline we've heard, right?
Yes.
Is end of November?
It's end of November.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I'd just be happy if it opened before we graduate in a year.
Yep.
And I'm sure that's been the thought for many of the past seniors that, I hope it opens before I leave Tufts because I've been told it was opening since I was touring colleges. But I don't know. With the current... or not so current Orange Line closure. I just want the tea to be safe for people to take places.
That's
so
very noble. And I think that's the right thing to be feeling right now. I am also in a state of like, if I get it for a month in senior spring, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Anything beyond that is cake.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't happen, then I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
I'm just so sad that they've been like supporting this and talking about this for years and years and it hasn't happened. Now that we're leaving, we don't really get to appreciate the fact that there's a Tufts T stop because we're not really Tufts students anymore.
True.
Part of the campus.
True. So. But I mean, a number of people do like go on to live close by after they graduate. More and more people get roped into that 4+1 master's program every day. They just kind of abduct people on the street from what I've
also been looking at that.
They don't abduct people on the street, first of all. But, but no, I mean, it's a neat idea.
Yeah.
For sure.
I thought I wanted to be a chemistry major this whole time.
Yeah.
And now I'm still a chemistry major, yet also maybe an environmental geology major, so double major. And then I'm also considering, I've also been considering the 4+1, just because it seems like such an easy thing to do. But like paying for that extra year, I don't know how the financial aid works. So I'm not sure that that's like a feasible thing to do. I have to talk to my advisor about it.
Yeah.
Our good friend, Duren Turner.
our good friend, Duren Turner, who's also my advisor, and who's a really good, lovely advisor. Just
she makes the time for you, which I really appreciate.
She makes the time for you. She's very kind. Mm-hmm. She's very supportive of, like, here are the things you want to do. Let me help you do the things you want to do versus a pre-major advisor that will remain unnamed. Kind of was like, here's a path you could go down, but you probably don't want to, and did that three or four times. But
my pre-major advisor was very nice woman, but part of the French department, and thus did not know anything about chemistry, which is totally fair.
Yeah.
She was the French lady to go to. Like, if I wanted to major in French, she would have
known
exactly what I needed to be doing, and would have helped me get along my way. But chemistry, I was like, do I take Chem 11 or Chem 1? And she just didn't know. Because that's not her thing.
Yeah. And that's like, pre-major, or like right when you come to Tufts, advising, I think it's just like a tricky thing for colleges in general because you don't know where you're going yet. Mm-hmm. How can they possibly know how to help you where you're going? But I don't know. Yeah, it just, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
I think in that situation, I was probably supposed to take advantage of my advising dean, but it was like the first semester and there was COVID and it just would have been another Zoom meeting, which didn't ever feel comfortable to me. Mm-hmm. So totally. It wasn't appealing. I rather figure it out on my own, and I'm okay. So yeah.
Heck yeah. Another question? Mm-hmm. Let's see. Ooh, here is one that I have not yet asked a number of people that have picked mm-hmm. this. I really have wanted to talk about this, but if you had to take like entirely new classes, throw out any major and like other ideas that you have and just like stuff you haven't taken or maybe even thought about before, what would you pick?
So, my girlfriend is an anthropology major, mm-hmm. and I am very much not an anthropology major, but she's been taking really cool classes that I wish I had the time for.
Yeah.
Biological anthropology, for one, where they talked about the progression of monkeys to people and like apes to people.
That's cool.
Was apparently a really fun class, and there was a lab component where they made stone tools. That sounds really fun, and I don't remember another anthropology class that she's taken, but EOS classes, definitely.
True. Yeah.
But yeah, when I was looking at this question, it was really biological anthropology was something that I would want to try, and also the other random anthropology classes that they have as special topics just seem kind of fun. The music as culture class that I'm taking right now is one of those.
Yeah, totally.
So it's like looking at why people are doing the things that they're doing is kind of a fun thing to think about for me, and it's just not something I've had the time to actually take a class in, but Julie seems to like it. My girlfriend Julie seems to like it a lot. So yeah, what about you? What have you thought about?
I've got a lot of classes in the like adjacent to something I've taken before. If we were to go for like truly things that I haven't taken in mm-hmm. college yet, like ancient medicine course, I don't know if you've heard about this, but that's really cool, where you learn about like, I think it's how like ancient Greeks and Romans mm-hmm. did medicine, and you learn about like their ideas about the body and what goes wrong and what goes right in it. And then like one of your final projects or finals for the class is like, here is a person comes to you with an issue here. Mm-hmm. Like, how should you treat it according to
that's so funny.
What the old logic was, you know? And it's like, we must get leeches to get the bad blood out. But I think that would be a really cool class to take. And kind of in that vein, I think bio would be really cool. Yeah. I took, last year, I took Grimm's Fairy Tales. That's the name of the course, which I took for kind of the fairy tale mm-hmm. aspect of it. But what I didn't realize at the time was it was also a women's and gender study course.
I didn't know that either.
It's really cool. And it was a really cool, well-taught class. And I could see myself taking more women's and gender studies classes because I, like, it
Casey's
interests me now.
A women gender studies major.
Yeah, our
Casey,
friend.
Casey, who goes to chemistry class with us. And she's taking a drag dance-esque class that's like mm-hmm. 6 to 9 on Mondays, and that sounds like a really cool thing to be doing in women's and gender studies. I haven't actually looked at a lot of their course listings, so if I had the time, I might do that. But
the list of classes to take, like if I have time in my schedule, I've got a whole bunch that I want to take. I want to take more archaeology. I've done one anthro class. Mm-hmm. I think archaeology is a little above anthro mm-hmm. for me, but I do like both of them. Coming off of the Grimm's Fairy Tales, they've got a Disney versus Ghibli course that mm-hmm. would be really super cool to take.
That's a film class.
Yeah.
So, right? Yeah.
Film and media mm-hmm. studies. And also, like, East Asian culture. Oh, that's another thing that
that's
cool. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
It's neat.
I had something to add a class, but I don't remember what it was now. So, that's tragic.
All right. We can dive into another question or more conversation now, or we can do a song come back in briefly and then go into a final song.
Let's do song right now.
Perfect. Yeah. Excellent. Any particular songs to choose? Yeah. I'll introduce this later. Have fun with it. And we are back, and we're happy to have you. This has been Elephant Loaf this week. We're going to just kind of round out the show here. That was A Year Without Rain by Selena Gomez and The Scene, which is her band, I guess.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Thank you for joining us this week. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. And I've been Luke. This week we had special guest Claire on the show.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, and thank you for allowing me to play Selena Gomez for our good friends here.
Of course. Absolutely. And you've got a very specific song that you would like us to end on. Can you introduce it and say anything you would like to say?
I recently watched the Lizzie McGuire movie again, and it was incredible. And I would like everyone else to listen to What Dreams Are Made Of by Hilary Duff.
Excellent. With that, good night. You can catch me back here next week. You can find Claire in your hopes and dreams if you would like to.
Yes, you can. Goodbye. I'll be there. Hey now, hey now.